And so, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you ever doubt your faith? I think that moments of doubt always come to us, and they always seem to hit us in the hardest parts of life, right? You doubt your God and you doubt your faith when you struggle, especially financially, right? You might have lost your job, you see those bills piling up, you start having worries about where the money's going to come from and where the money for the food is going to come from, and you look up and you question, where are you? What's going on? You might doubt your faith and you might doubt your God when you lose a loved one. It might be that your mother was a pillar of faith for you, that she was the one that you always went to when you were struggling, when you were celebrating, just any time. She was a huge part of your life, and now she's gone. And you want to trust that she's in a better place, that she's in that perfect rest with Christ, but yet you doubt. You probably doubt your faith like I do, especially as you look out at the world. You look out at the world and you see nothing but evil. You see so many people trying to do good. You feel that you yourself are included among them. But then you look and you see people on television and on the social media feeds, wherever those might be. And you see that these people who are evil or self-centered or just vain, that these are the people who are succeeding, while you, who are putting out all of this effort to be good and righteous, you get nothing. And you doubt, God, what is going on? Why do these people have it so much better than I do? For us as Christians, I think that we have all been there in one way or another. Doubt is one of those things that strikes us all. And if we're not there at this time, we probably have been there or know someone who has been there. What do you do when you doubt faith? Our eyes must immediately be lifted to the cross and to the empty tomb. When you face doubt, you must look at a place of hope. And for us as believers, this place of hope for us is found on the cross and in that empty tomb. When we look at the history of Israel, they waited and waited and waited for a Messiah, for an anointed king who would come and save them from their sins, save them from this evil, save them from the other nations. And I bet that many of these Jews doubted as they waited and waited and waited and never saw anything. They waited for so many years. They waited to see the fulfillment of all of these promises that they had been given. Many died waiting, and I would even wager that some died in doubt. Ever since the very beginning, we've been given a promise of salvation, a promise of a Savior who's going to come and redeem us. Well, first we hear of Abraham, and we think, well, Father Abraham, this guy is great, but yet he's dead and buried. Then we look and hear about Moses, and Moses is this unreal character, profound, wise, but yet he fails, and he can't even enter into the promised land. Then we hear about King David. And you look throughout the Old Testament, you can see how many people loved and adored King David and held him up to such high regard. But yet, David is famous for having an affair and then killing a man because of that affair. And then this Jesus guy shows up. He shows a lot of promise. He himself is making many bold promises. He's performing some unreal miracles, healing people in ways that others have never seen. But yet, what happens? He dies too. He was tortured, and his lifeless body is placed in the tomb, just like all of these other guys that we had hoped in. And this Jesus is dead too. There's so much promise in all of these people. There's so much promise and hope in all these people. But yet all of these great men die. And we are left without hope. But something's different with Jesus, isn't there? When we see the women approach the grave of Jesus on Easter, the grave is empty. And as we read further on in the Gospels, we see that Jesus is actually alive. He is not dead. He is not buried in the tomb. He is up and walking around. And this changes everything. Someone can claim to be God. Someone can even perform amazing and profound miracles. But this whole transition from death to life is unlike anything else. And the fact is that he promised that he would do all of this. That he would die and then 3 days later he would rise from the grave. And he keeps these promises and fulfills them. But what we also see through Christ, what we also see through this cross and empty tomb, is complete victory. A place where we can turn to in our doubts. And while to many they would look at that picture and just see a strangely shaped rock and a little cave, to us it is a symbol of our glory and of the victory that we will all receive. But yet, saying to someone who is doubting, just have hope in the cross and the empty tomb, doesn't always really help, right? It's like saying to someone who is depressed, well, just stop being depressed. It's not how this stuff works, is it? You can tell someone the truth of God's love. You can tell it to them perfectly and have everything exactly right, but that doesn't mean that they're going to stop in their doubts. And so what's to be done? Well, and that's where we look at Jude and what Jude has to say. Jude, in our reading, says to take mercy on those who doubt. You see, the way to solve doubt is to be the presence of God in people's lives. Not saying that you yourself are God, but yet you come to them, someone who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, someone who has been made new to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is in these things that you then go to people and you serve them, especially those people who are fighting with their doubts. And we have other language here. Jude begins. See, Jude is a very, very short letter. So short that it doesn't have chapters. We just reference it by its verses. And it's only got around like 30 verses. And at the very beginning of the letter from Jude, in verses 3 and 4, Jude says that the whole purpose of his writing is to appeal to the saints to contend for the faith, to fight for the faith. And this contending, this striving, this is where we make efforts to love and serve one another, to build one another up, to give each other that foundation in Jesus Christ, to build upon that foundation and love and serve one another, especially having mercy on those people in doubt. And so what does that actually look like to contend for the faith? The first images that pop into my mind when I think of fighting for the faith, I think of somebody arguing with someone else, trying to convince them of the realness and the truth of our faith. But that's not it. That's not fighting for the faith. Fighting for the faith, it isn't something like the holy wars of the Crusades, where we were literally fighting people for the Holy Land. That's not contending for the faith. As Jude puts it in his letter, to contend for the faith means not relying on ourselves, on our own hearts, on our own desires, but rather turning away from those things to love and serve one another, fighting for one another. And to fight for someone means that you have to get into the trenches for them. You've got to get deep in the dirt. You've got to get into the awful parts of these people's lives. That is how you fight for someone. And fighting for someone very often has no glory in it. No one is going to be singing songs of praise to you. You'll be lucky if you even get a pat on the back and a thank you. Fighting for someone and contending for the faith in all these things, there is no glory. But rather it is fighting for someone by shedding tears with them in times of mourning, by maybe even supporting them financially, by walking with them in their lives to help them change. Maybe they're an awful individual and they just need to be better. To fight for them and to contend for the faith for them means to be with them in those awful moments. And in these actions, this is where we show what Christ has done. This is where we show the work of the Holy Spirit in our own hearts and lives. Notice how in all of these letters following the Gospels, what is their focus? Their focus is constantly love your neighbor, serve others, fight for them. This is how we stand out in the world. This is how we help people with their doubts, is when we live our faith, people can see it and they trust it. You know, I was just thinking as we were singing the first hymn this morning, I am exhausted and I am tired. But look at all of the people that are here. You're only here because you want to be. And that says a lot to me, that you would get up first thing in the morning, that you would wipe the sleep out of your eyes, brush your teeth, have some coffee, and come to church says a lot, that you want to be here, that you want to grow in your faith, that you want to come before your God to receive His forgiveness and all of the things which He brings to you. You want to be here with one another, because you can receive His gifts by yourself. Realistically, you could sit with the Bible and hear constant forgiveness. But yet it is in the body of Christ and in building one another up that we serve and love and live the life that Christ has given us to live. To live in that Holy Spirit life. And it is in all of these things that we help people in doubt. Because I tell you that even I doubt. And in my doubt, I very often go to God in prayer and I say, God, I'm doubting and I need you to prove yourself to me, to show yourself to me, to do whatever. And it sounds very entitled, but yet at the same time, God constantly answers my prayers. And one of the biggest ways that He answers my prayers is by reminding me through His people of the glory that I have been given, of the unreal blessings that I have. That's what it looks like when we fight for the faith, is in that loving service to one another that helps alleviate doubts, that helps build each other up. It is in these things that we become this strong body of Christ, where we live as God's people. That we live as people who have been built up to be temples of the Holy Spirit. It is in this that we help fight and alleviate doubt. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.